I will invite Mr. Sultan Riaz Khan, to an advisor to GMS, to come and talk to us about creative financing and fast solutions in today's market.
Thank you. Kalimera, or should I say Yasas? Well, that's a very tough act to follow after Larry, especially on private equity. But good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sultan Riaz Khan, and my company is Tavlon Consultancy. I'm here today as an independent advisor to the projects and finance team of GMS, which I joined in December 2013. Dr. Sharma, the CEO and president of GMS, was unable to make it due to a conflict of interest in his agenda. Some of you may know me from my last 12 years at DBB Bank, where I was a managing director and head of research and strategic planning for the shipping division, as well as one of the three voting members of the investment fund known as SIM. I've been in the shipping industry for well over 40 years, as some of you may figure out from my gray hairs, some of which were contributed to by the shipping industry, which I joined in 1971. I have operated a fleet of crude, product, chemical, as well as dry bulk and multipurpose tweens. Since I left DBB in April 2013, I have worked with Cerberus Capital in London and Oaktree in Frankfurt. GMS has provided me with many slides on recycling. However, most of my focus will be on the project work done by the team and general comments and observations. GMS's background is that they have their headquarters in Dubai, and it was founded in 1992 by Dr. Sharma, when he started buying the American naval fleet from the U.S. Maritime Administration, known as MARAD. He then went on to buy the Russian Navy fleet, and in 1995 started working on the commercial markets, and in a short span of 5 years became the world's largest cash buyer of recycled vessels. GMS has offices in Dubai, Maryland, Shanghai, Singapore, and Japan, and GMS is only cash buyer with local representative offices in all five major recycling markets. GMS's clients are amongst ship owners, banks, PE firms, and brokers. So far, GMS has negotiated over 2,500 vessels and counting. The salient points about GMS is that they are the world's first ISO 9001 certified cash buyer. They developed a unique recycling program together with a leading IAX member. They employ over 50 people globally. And Lloyd's List has ranked Dr. Sharma amongst the top 100 most influential people in shipping for the last 4 consecutive years. Now, cash buying has evolved into a huge industry with large economic and environmental and social impact. In 2012 alone, roughly $5.1 billion worth of scrap vessels were purchased for recycling. This figure dropped by $1 billion in 2012, which is surprising, given that we're in the 7th year of the low cycle in shipping, not only in value terms, but also in deadweight. But the good news is basically that the average age of scrapping has dropped from 37 years in 2011 to 30 in 2013. With the ongoing financial crisis, one would have thought that the number of vessels recycled would have increased in 2013, but according to the figures we just saw on the slide, that has not been the case. And what's the reason for this? Well, in my opinion, it's the continued support of the banks, who've had little choice but to end up running the ships, hoping for a sustained market recovery down the road and riding out the market cycle rather than biting the bullet, which has consequences on their balance sheets. More stress testing has been announced for this year. Total lending by banks will continue to fall, in my opinion, while export credit agencies will continue to grow. Chinese banks, of course, have stepped in, but with the proviso that the ships be built in China, plus it does take a bit longer to negotiate the loan, and any hope of restructuring down the road is a bit remote. The concept used by banks of pay as you earn, well, this allows them to split the loan and reclassify it, other than providing a moratorium on the capital, and sometimes both capital and interest. But even with this relaxation, many asset types have been operating below OPEX. With a protracted downturn and more economical vessels being built, the pressure continues to grow on the older units. Auditors and regulators need to reassess the concept, because one needs to show a light at the end of the tunnel that the owners will be able to repay the loan. If not, the banks will have to increase their loan loss provisions and shore up their capital base to improve their balance sheets. So, which banks will still be lending going forward? The slide has been provided by Marine Money, and it is dated 2012. But what led me to think is, which one of these banks is still lending? There are 39 banks on this slide, so I decided to color code them, nothing to do with Marine Money. But if there are any mistakes I've made, I'm happy to correct them, but this is my guesswork. I divided them into those banks that are not lending, mostly to existing customers, or lending mostly to corporate and existing clients, which is a bit of a gray area, and then the gray itself. So there are a lot of green bars you can see on this slide, so everything is quite normal, one would assume. But if one takes the top 10 portfolios, you find that three, if not four, of the banks are either not lending or in the process of selling their portfolios. We've all heard from the previous panel about private equity, and yes, it is increasing. But private equity deals, apart from having dramatically increased over the years, the assumption that we've been hearing has been that it's a good time to enter the markets at the low cycle, as the low cycle has remained long enough. Plus, PE firms have been sitting on a lot of cash, burning in their pockets. I'm not sure if the bet to enter the shipping industry is based on the biblical concept of 7 years of famine followed by 7 years of feasting, or in fact, was it the other way around? Although lending by banks is reported to be reasonable given the current circumstances, one needs to factor in how much of the debt is being provided to ship owners versus deals being done by private equity with support on the debt by banks, thus shifting the counterparty risk to PE firms, which is more palatable to the banks. Now, the financial crisis in shipping has provided GMS with the impetus to expand into ship finance. The projects team of GMS works closely with brokers, banks, ship owners, and private equity firms to structure creative and unorthodox financing options. Most of GMS's investments are equity-based, but they also have known to provide debt, depending on the deal structure. GMS's investments have ranged from shipping companies to ship-owning, bareboat charter deals, sale and leaseback, along with several other projects, including the investment in Koenig & Cie. The project's team's raison d'etre is to invest and or to facilitate investments in global value-creating opportunities, to identify ship owners, and I think this is quite important, whose financial needs are not being addressed by the banks, which are either shying away from shipping or lending only to their existing client base, or major PE players who consider some deals to be too small for their portfolios. And this is where GMS can fill the gap. With more than 20 years of strong shipping background, a highly experienced and motivated team of traders, mariners, engineers and naval architects and ship finance experts, GMS is in the best position to profitably manage such projects. The project's team also seeks to identify value-maximizing opportunities outside of shipping. Key projects are those that are characterized by strong business fundamentals, competitive advantages, recurring cash flows, and robust growth prospects, but are facing temporary short-term difficulties. Relationships developed over the past 20 years of global activities and multiple offices across different regions gives GMS direct access to value-creating opportunities across the globe. I've got three examples of the type of deals that GMS is either involved in or has done. And the first one was to acquire 100% equity ownership in an LNG vessel with a charter back. The vessel came with an existing charter with an option for one more year. If the option is declared, a profit-sharing agreement kicks in so that the owner does not lose on the upside. And at the end of the charter, the vessel will be redelivered to GMS, following which she will enter either a further trading or be sold or recycled. The lightweight of the vessel was approximately 30,000, and it was a 1980-built LNG vessel. And dry docking may or may not come into play depending on the option declared because it was planned for 2016. The second example is what I mentioned earlier on, which is the investment in the KG Fund. Now, this investment in Koenig & Cie provided GMS with new opportunities within German shipping and U.S. private equity markets. Along with other private equity partners, GMS concluded the reorganization and recapitalization of Koenig & Cie, one of Germany's largest KG companies, by acquiring a significant stake in the company. Based in Hamburg, Koenig & Cie was established in 1999 and at the time of the takeover had invested approximately $2 billion of equity. Controlled roughly 70 vessels, including multipurpose tweens, bulkers, containers, and tankers. KNC invested in many types of assets over the years, including real estate, other funds, and shipping within its portfolio of over $5 billion. Capital structure comprised of a creative mix of equity, as well as various tranches of debt. The other example is they took a position to acquire a majority stake in four Ultramax vessels with an option for further four, and the delivery price was concluded prior to the recent spike we've seen in prices, and the delivery is scheduled between 2015 and mid-2016. The engines will be the dual fuel with an economical design, and vessels will be classed with one of the top-tier IAX members and built at a top-tier Chinese yard. The interest and principal to be serviced from operations, and the option remains on the table to sell the vessels prior to or after delivery. I thought it might be a good idea to look at some pros and cons of some of the deals to give you an idea of where the balance is between what we do with our partners. Now, the pros in this case was about selling a vessel with a fixed price with a forward delivery price to GMS. Now, the option, of course, for the pro side was to lock into a forward rate and eliminating uncertainty of currency or steel price movement. If the Indian rupee, for example, depreciates by one to the US dollar, the BDA price reduces by $5. With several macro uncertainties, QE tapering, expected interest rate increases, and the recent emerging market crisis scare, entering into such agreements can generate substantial savings. And on the other side, we had a limited upside should recycling markets experience a boom. However, to mitigate this, one can always agree to a floor and a ceiling with a profit sharing. And similarly, gains are limited if the commercial markets experience a significant recovery and it becomes economical to put the vessel through dry dock rather than recycle it, Well, here again, GMS is open and the mitigant can be profit sharing, which would make sense for both parties. The second example was of a joint venture with partial ownership, and this provides immediate cash injection, and of course the owner is free to do with it for paying off the mortgage or for any extensive dry dock that he may have planned. The partial upside remains with the seller, and by participating with the largest cash buyer in the world, the owner would benefit from a boom in recycling markets using a floor and a ceiling I mentioned before. And on the negative side as such, due to the dilution of ownership, existing owner's share of profits from an unexpected boom in the commercial markets would, of course, need to be shared. It's not that bad, actually, to share it rather than lose it. Equity is more expensive than debt, if obtainable, and it might be suitable, and it might not be suitable for all ship owners. The last two examples I have on my slides are an owner wanted to sell his VLCC with a time charter back, which he was using for storage and lighterage purposes. Here again, the question is, he gets immediate cash flow input, fixed charter hire, which reduces the volatility greatly, and unplanned cash flows are avoided because they might have breakdowns or unplanned maintenance. On the opposite side, you have no benefit should the market drop further and the daily time charter actually decreases. And the last example I have for you is a bridge finance on a fire-damaged container vessel using insurance money as a guarantee as collateral. Of course, the immediate benefit was to provide cash to fund repairs, avoiding a long waiting time before the claim gets honored by the insurance company. And quicker repairs due to availability of the credit means getting the vessel back into an earning mode. And I couldn't really think of a negative on this point. My concluding slide is, why GMS? Well, GMS provides fast execution owing to the lean organizational structure and solutions-oriented approach, and GMS's projects team can identify, evaluate, and execute a project swiftly without getting bogged down by bureaucracy. Fast, flexible, innovative, and reliable sums up the approach aptly. GMS's long, in-depth knowledge of the residual market has offered a unique insight in the commercial aspects of many maritime sectors without which partners are ready to stand to benefit. Unlike traditional players who focus only on equity or debt, GMS's projects team can come in with both debt and equity depending on the specifics of the project. Moreover, irrespective of the investment structure, GMS prefers to have a substantial skin in the game, which ensures that GMS's objectives are aligned with our partners. In other words, we win when our partners win. If any of you have an owner or know an owner or a bank that might be interested in such types of structures or have any other structure in mind, please do contact the projects team by email or give us a call. Afaristo, and thank you for your attention. I'll just assume that I have been very informative, and if any questions are afterwards, then I'm happy to answer them at lunch or otherwise. Thank you.